Good morning, good afternoon, good evening again, and just so lovely to sit together. Today will be a little bit, I want to talk about how do we allow ourselves to drop into a place where we can be available for a sense of belonging. And this will be a little bit, what I'm talking about today will be a little bit, will be expanded upon tomorrow, but mostly wanting to today to explore together the teachings around friendliness and befriending ourselves, befriending our lives. And the doorway for now to explore this is with the teachings of metta. And I actually just want to start with reading the Metta Sutta. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short, and small, the seen and the unseen. Yes, it is. Sorry, Tolan. Now, is that a better sound? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease, whether they are weak or strong. Omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, those seen and unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or lying, walking down or seated, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu. And one of my favorite lines, and I think one of the most ones I practice with, maybe the most, and can be so important in how we navigate this world at this particular time, is this line about not holding to fixed views. And for those of you that know, or as a reminder, and the Eightfold Path, which is really the path to liberation, there's suffering in this world. This human form comes with suffering. There are causes of this suffering, the degree to which we cling, fixate, push away. There are ways that we can free ourselves from this suffering, and the Eightfold Path is, this is how. And the first branch, if we think of it as a tree, of the Eightfold Path is wise view, and coming into this a place of knowing all that arises passes away. There's no actual self here. This is sort of just a creation. And that nothing is again, the sense of nothing being permanent. And yet we live in a world today. There's a lot of commitment to fixed views of who's right and who's wrong, who's in and who's out, who's not okay, who's the degrees in which through different institutions and laws and over time that we have allowed ourselves to really split ourselves from and divide ourselves from our fellow humans and the animals and the planet. And this disconnection, I think, has created such a profound dis-ease in us as humans in the world. And we see it play out in any myriad of ways. And again, coming back to this line of not holding to fixed views, if we allow ourselves to soften or just even pay attention to where do I get hooked in believing I'm right, they're wrong. And we can have all kinds of evidence and science to prove right and wrong, but it's more attitudinally, can we have, to borrow from Brené Brown, who borrowed from Joan Halifax, you know, soft front, strong back, a way of staying open to connection, to how can we stay connected to ourselves first and to others in this doorway that the Buddha offers through metta, a way of abiding in kindness and friendliness in some ways feels like the place of origination or the beginning of a place from which we can offer friendliness again to ourselves and to others. And the divine abodes, or the Brahmaviharas in Pali, as we know, because I definitely spent a lot of time in this book, Christina Feldman's Boundless Heart, and going back to that book because I can never get enough of it. The four Brahmaviharas, again, the divine abodes of loving kindness, metta, karuna, compassion, sympathetic joy, mudita, and equanimity, upekkha. Upekkha being the crown jewel, it's said to be of the heart, that which balances us, the equanimity. But this first quarter of the heart, the awakened heart, this first room of abiding is this place of friendliness and loving kindness. And these days, it can be hard to find that, right? And again, towards ourselves, the way that, and I know certainly when I came to the practice, as I've shared before, I had a terrible self-critic. It's brutal. And it was through this metta practice in the early years of my practice. This was primarily what I did as a way to just soften my attitude towards myself, soften around how I could move in the world and be able to relate to myself and to the world from a much more friendlier place. So I want to share a little bit from Christina's book, as I do, because I love it. So bear with me. Patterns of fear and confusion and aversion that featured so strongly in the time of the Buddha are equally prevalent in our world today. Conflict, hatred, suspicion, greed scar our world. We may find ourselves pursuing ways to escape from this difficult life through addiction or dissociation. Rates of depression and self-harm are all too familiar in the lives of many, as we lose confidence in our capacity to bring distress to an end and forget the genuine sense of potentiality in our own hearts for freedom and peace. In confusion, we are prone to heap pain upon pain through aversion and fear. And as the Buddha put it, what we frequently dwell upon does this to our hearts incline. That which we ponder upon, so goes the mind, so goes our energy, so goes our intention. How do we be able to slow down enough to pay attention to where does the energy of my mind go? Is it to places of aversion or fear? There's so much fear now. I'm just for there are good reasons for it. But to what degree do we allow fear to be that which dominates? Or when does fear become the loudest voice in the room of our own head? Or that line, which I love, you know, with all of us, there lives in an inner committee. And when does fear the loudest voice at the table, so to speak, or on the committee, which is, again, not to say there aren't things to be scared of. There are. But how can we mitigate this, the volume of the fear voice with the wisdom that comes from these heart practices and being able to see the suffering that we cause within our own hearts and the division and the exile that we can feel from ourselves when we are driven mostly, primarily by fear. In looking closely at his heart and mind, the Buddha discovered a radically different way of being in this world in which fear and confusion could come to an end. Well, that sounds good. That would be nice. And he's like, this is how you do it. If I could do it, you can do it too. And again, a line that I quote often from Christina's book, this notion that the task at hand, what we're being asked to do to end confusion and fear in our mind, happens moment to moment. It's never larger than this very moment right now. Being able to slow down enough to be like, what's predominant? Is it a sense of fear, aversion, or can it be a sense of friendliness? And what does it feel like in the body when we're caught in that, like, ooh, no, I'm scared? Or again, the sort of bringing around soft heart, strong back. A little bit. in early in one of the texts, the Buddha describes this saying, looking after oneself, one looks after others. Looking after others, one looks after oneself. How does one look after others whilst looking after oneself? By practicing mindfulness, developing it and making it grow. How does one look after oneself? By looking after others, by patience, non-harming, friendliness, and caring. And these heart qualities, patience, loving kindness, friendliness, and caring, we know how it feels when we move from that place, right? As opposed to when we move from fear and aversion, hatred, division. And in the softening to ourselves and allowing the sense of patience, equanimity, the qualities of the divine abodes to be what leads and guides us, there's wisdom and discernment. Discernment is very much a part of this. And there can be a way of engaging again with ourselves in the world that has a softer, more friendly way of movement, kind of cellularly in the body. If we can allow ourselves to embody a deeper sense of friendliness, the world can be a little bit softer. This is, again, not to take away from the seriousness of what's happening out there. But again, how do we hold it within our own selves? Metta teaches us that one cannot pursue peace, happiness, tenderness, safety, and freedom only for oneself, right? This is a relational practice. It doesn't often seem that way when the retreats are sitting in the room and don't make eye contact and don't talk to anybody, or as we are here on Zoom, but it is very relational. How do we relate to ourselves? Can we soften, be more accepting, be more gentle, a gentle friendliness to ourselves? How can we be in relation to other people? That this is actually what the teachings are pointing us towards. It's how can we deepen our capacity to stay connected in the face of fear and everything else? My peace, happiness, and freedom is linked and interwoven with yours. My confusion, fear, and sorrow is also linked and interwoven with yours. Metta teaches us to move from the language of I and you and into a place of us and we. It's the universal language that honors the deepest longing of the human heart to live with safety, to be protected, to be respected, and to be seen with kindness and respect. The universal language of metta knows that all of our thoughts, speech, actions leave a footprint upon the world. And moment to moment, we are learning to touch the world with a moment of kindness. So beautiful. And can we allow ourselves to slow down enough to pay attention? What is the footprint I'm leaving? And what do we aspire to leave? Sort of in between there, we move between those two poles, much like that line of this practice. I don't think I can pull it up. But how can we allow compassion and wisdom, which are said to be the two wings of this practice, to guide us such that we can leave a gentle footprint that is infused with patience and wisdom and kindness, discernment, a wise use of our energy and truthfulness in the different paramis that make up the awakened heart. In terms of a reflection on a way of holding the world, this is from Anne Frank. Consisting of confusion, misery, and death, I see the world being turned into a wilderness. I hear the ever-approaching thunder, which will destroy us too. I can feel the suffering of millions, and yet, if I look into the heavens, I think it will come out all right. That this cruelty will end, that peace and tranquility will return again. In the meantime, I must uphold my ideals, and perhaps the time will come when I shall be able to carry them out. This wise view of things will work out. Yes, there is evil and the thunder is coming. It might destroy us. And yet, if I hold on to my ideals, that which is true, that which I value. And over in this class, I've asked us to reflect, okay, what do we actually value? As distinct from fixed views, right? And I hope that distinction feels clear, that a fixed view can be a belief, where a value is this heart quality of what is most dear to us in terms of how we want to show up, you know, with whether it's abiding in the divine abodes, friendliness, joy, compassion and equanimity, or patience, humor, laughter. What do we want to offer the world in terms of our gifts from the heart? And can we allow ourselves to keep checking in from where am I moving? And what is the consequence of my life when I'm caught in fear or anxiety or worry? I know personally, I can feel really shut off and alone and kind of miserable. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort and connection with others to sometimes break out of that pattern. And this practice is absolutely, hopefully, one of the tools in the kit to be able to reach into, like, all right, how can I practice this sense of metta and loving kindness to be able to, again, soften and live from a place that is in accordance with what I truly value. And if it's okay, I might have us in the sort of a guided meditation, just walk us through a guided metta practice, if that's okay. And I'm sort of asking, sort of not. So it's okay. I ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to give two options. The beautiful teachers, the nuns at Avalokiteshvara, speak of, when they talk about metta practice, they speak more of sort of imagining that we can radiate this quality of loving kindness, as I like, this is me, not them, but almost like the sun is at our back and kind of shines through us. And that can be a way of radiating a sense of friendliness, of befriending oneself and another. So that's one way to practice. I'm going to go with a more traditional way at Spirit Rock that we work with the metaphrases. So if you close your eyes again, if you haven't already, and many of you, I'm sure, have metta practices with your own phrases, and feel free to use those, or we can, or use the ones that I'm offering. And I'm going to have us start with ourselves. And I often will practice with put my hands on both hands at heart center, or one hand on the heart, wherever feels appropriate. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be strong and healthy in my body. May I live with ease. And again, these are the really simple phrases, but to see how it is to let the words resonate. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be strong and healthy in my body. May I live with ease. And just notice if the words resonate or not, if there's a push against, okay. Allowing, making space for however there is, whatever the response is, whatever the reaction is, okay. Sometimes when people work with a metta practice, they're like, I don't feel anything. I hate this practice. Okay. And some people can really feel it resonate. It is also a concentration practice. So if nothing else, it's a way of focusing the mind. Here, say this: may I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be strong and healthy in my body. May I live with ease. And to feel free to repeat these phrases on your own, or again, using your own phrases, and keep some attention in the body, the heart and the belly. Just to notice, how are these phrases landing when I offer this to myself? May I be happy, healthy. May I be strong, healthy in my body. May I live with ease. And again, if it's helpful, holding the picture of our global Sangha, these beautiful hearts, wishing ourselves well, wishing ourselves health and peace and ease. And when you feel ready to invite in a teacher, someone whom we imagine sitting before you and the heart just gladdens, the person, it's not complicated. If it's your child, then maybe it's a picture of your sleeping child. It may be someone you've never met, but a teacher who's had a profound impact on you. It may be a loved one that's no longer with us on this earth. To imagine this one being, and it may be an animal, or a human or a place. But somewhere when you imagine being in the presence of this place, this animal, this human, again, the heart gladdens, there's a sense of delight. May you be happy. May you be healthy and strong in your body. May you live with ease. May you be at peace. And again, noticing in the body, in the heart, how does it feel to offer this well-wishing to this dear one? May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be healthy and strong in your body. May you live with ease. And again, staying with your own phrases, if that feels more resonant. And noticing, how is it to offer these well wishes to this dear one? May you be happy and healthy, strong in your body. May you live with peace. May you live with ease. Can you allow yourself to open up to this connection, that in offering these well wishes, you are connecting yourself to this other person from your heart to theirs? May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. Next category. It's a call to my, open your eyes and see our Sangha sisters here. I'm calling in those of our Sangha mates who we know that aren't here, but to hold this circle of wise women and to offer each, imagine sort of someone that you see or to hold in your mind's eye. May you be happy and healthy, strong in your body. May you have peace in your life. May you live with ease. And to imagine the sense of in this global circle, from one woman to the next, may you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be healthy and strong in your body. May you live with ease. Feel the power of the reverberations of maybe there are 40 some women here offering these well wishings to each other. May you be happy and healthy, peaceful. May you live with ease. Again, allowing yourself to take your circle in the place of things, of these well-wishings and blessings. May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. And from this place, and I forgot to mention the first person, the guide, the first dear one, to allow that person perhaps to stand beside you or behind you. So that connection, that the person that you connected is still with us. And again, this place of the circle of women here, to feel the support and the blessings of this Sangha, to then call forth what is traditionally the third category of the difficult person. And this doesn't have to be capital D difficult, the hardest person in your life, but somewhere where there's a little bit of an edge. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be strong and healthy in your body. May you live with ease. And again, noticing if that aversion that you may feel towards this person is like, ooh, not you. So to lean into the support of the Sangha, the support of that dear one that first came. And the strength of your own heart that can move past, move through the aversion or ill will that might be there, to say, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. Can you allow yourself to even feel a thread of connection to this person that's difficult in your life? May you be happy, healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. And again, just noticing, making space for whatever reactions are here. Okay. So one more offering to this difficult person in your life. May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. In whatever way feels appropriate, to perhaps bow that person out of your space, or if you feel so inclined, to invite them in to this Sangha of ours. Checking in, how's the heart? You may feel something of buoyancy, or you may not. Okay. To imagine the generative quality of the work of this practice that we've just done, spilling out from our circle in all directions, above and below, east and west, north and south, touching all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings, those in power, those powerless, those in refugee camps, those suffering from the fires, those giving birth, those getting married, may all beings everywhere live with peace. May all beings everywhere know the sensation of peace. May all beings have health and strength in their bodies. May all beings everywhere live with ease. So thank you for coming with me on the metta journey, and would love to offer this space up for comments or to share what came up in response to either the metta practice or thoughts about friendliness towards ourselves, really kind of as a doorway into a deeper sense of belonging. And thirdly, if anyone ever has any practice questions, this time is great for that as well. So don't feel like you have to ask a question, you can certainly share. And as I said before, you're welcome to put the comment in the chat or chat directly. Probably Tolan is better, and she'll read the question or comment. So
thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.